All right, take a Bible this morning and turn to Psalm 113. From a bad number, but a good psalm. Psalm 113. Read the first couple of verses and then skip down a little bit in the psalm. Psalm 113. Doctrinally, this psalm takes place at the second advent of Christ and issues in the millennium. But practically, it has some very interesting things in it. Psalm 113, beginning at verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. That's how Psalm 112 begins, if you look at it. Here's Psalm 111, that's how that one begins, that way. Psalm 113, praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. It's the millennium. Now down in verse 7, here's what some things taking place. He raised up the poor out of the dust. The poor are going to inherit the earth in the millennium. And lifted the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of the people. Now the text is verse 9. He maketh the barren woman to keep house, housekeeper, and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. My subject this morning is a joyful mother of children. Now, Father, we pray you might drive this message home, not just to the mothers here that are here today, but the prospective mothers here and the grandmothers that are here and others who have the joy of bearing children and having children, and then sometimes the grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and if they're in strenuous circumstance today, in depressive conditions and things, and have all kinds of problems that people have, we pray that they might still have the joy of having children and joy in the children they have, and thank you for the ones they have. We pray that the young ones might learn how to tend them, take care of them, and be real mothers to them and keepers at home, and the kind of mother boy be proud to have. Remember that a child left to himself will bring his mother to shame. We pray these mothers will be good mothers, and they'll enjoy the tasks you've given them and the career you've called them to perform in this life. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to talk here about now a while about a joyful mother and the need for joyful mothers, the author of the joy, the recipient of the joy, the nature of the joy, how you obtain the joy, and how you keep it. And all these things are very important for the ladies. Now, there's no doubt about the influence of mothers on little children and the destiny of nations. There's no doubt about it at all. They say that when a child is 4 years old, its character has been determined. I don't know if I believe that, but I'd fix it at 10. I'd say certainly by 10, the child, what he's going to be, his character is fixed. It's going to be of a certain nature, and mom has a lot to do with that. A child left to himself brings his mother to shame, and the first influence that anybody has over any man or woman born on this earth was his mother. You take in 2 Kings, when the boy gets a stroke out in the field working, and the news gets to the fellows who are out there working, and gets to the father, your boy just had a sunstroke. He said, take him to his mother. Boy comes home from school, and for years and years, the first thing is, where's mama? Where's mama? Where's mama coming home from school? That's the way the thing goes. Women have a tremendous influence of a child from 1 to 4. They're about the only one that does. Unless a private nurse taking care of him, if your mama taking care of him, you have 10 times the influence the man has. You guys that have had children, you know what happens to you when your child has when your mother has a child, or your wife has a child, you become a bachelor for about 2 or 3 years in there, you know what I mean? You come in second, you know. Well, say Adam came first and Eve came second, you know, so she'd be considered secondly. Well, I don't know. The animals came in before Adam did. I guess Adam should be considered separately. I thought for years and years about how to develop spirituality and common sense in people. The thing I liked the most coming up till I was 27 was spirituality. I was dead in trespass and sin. But after I got saved, I didn't get to pick up any common sense, I don't think, till 10 years after I was saved. The common sense I got from listening to preachers like Sam Jones and Bob Jones Sr., not from my own father. We're raised in a military family. There's nothing common sense about military family. You take orders, and that's what you do, and you give orders, and that's it. Yeah, if I could find a way to teach young men spirituality and common sense, we'd have it in the curriculum. 3 hours credit, you know. 2 hours a week, 3 hours a week, common sense. But you can't impart it to people. And the same way with spirituality. If I could find a way to make you all spiritual, don't you know I'd do it? I'd want you to be spiritual. If I know how to do it, I'd do it. Right? You can't do it. I don't know what it is about people. It must be forming their young. You're just spiritual. You're just not. I was talking one time to a Texan about these things. They usually have some good original answers, and I got one from this Texan. I said, "Well, where do you get common sense from?" And he said, "You get it from your mother." Well, maybe that's right. I don't know. I couldn't have got from my mother. I was a card playing, five card draw, seven card stud, bridge gambling playing. Chronic alcoholic all her life. I couldn't have got it from her. I don't know where you get it from. You're supposed to get it from Mama. Mama's very influential. Here's Nero's mother. Nero, the Roman emperor that burned Rome, his mother was a murderer. She killed people. Well, he walked in her steps. Byron's mother, the poet, was a very haughty lady, and he was a very haughty man, ruined his life. Kennedy's mother was spoiled. The Kennedy boys, three of the spoiled brats that ever lived. Their mother was a spoiled brat. The whole bunch were spoiled brats. The two boys got shot. They were small brats when they were spoiled brats when they got shot. Little delay there, boys and girls. A little late there. Walter Scott was fond of writing poems. He became a poet. You take Washington, his mother was patriotic, very patriotic, so he turns out a patriot. Most Hollywood mothers are blanks. You can hardly think of a Hollywood mother ever amounted to a hill of beans for some reason, like the crabs. We have a parable where a baby crab is following mama crab down the wharf, and the baby crab says, the mama crab says to the baby crab, "Would you please walk a little straighter?" And the baby crab says, "Well, Mom, will you show me how?" Now, you lead your examples to your children. They may not follow your example, but you're responsible for being an example. If your children don't follow you, that's between them and the Lord. But you're to be an example whether they follow you or not. That's how that thing goes. They have a lot to do with it, the person coming up. I think Bob Hope and Paul Newman and Shirley Temple were the only three movie stars I've ever seen whose marriages lasted. Three of them. Bob Hope and Paul Newman and Shirley Temple. And the rest of them is anywhere from two or three to a half a dozen. That kind of thing. There's something wrong with the mamas, I guess. All right, now what's the author of salvation? The author of salvation is the Lord. You're told in Job 38, "Where were you when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy?" It comes from the Lord. Your Constitution says all men are endowed by their Creator with the right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Your joy, your Constitution says, your Bill of Rights says that you're endowed with that not by the government. You're endowed that by your Creator. Amen. That's in the original Bill, those things, the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. That's where that thing comes from. It comes from the Lord. It comes from the Lord. You know what comes from the Lord? He gets in animals. I've heard birds. I knew they were happy when they were singing. I could tell how they were. They're chirping, twisting, they're going to bust their guts out. And there's nothing there. Nobody's trying to rob the nest. They're just sitting up a tree just having a good time this spring. I've seen cats with a very satisfied look on their face, you know, at times. They can't really smile, but I've seen dogs smile. Well, German shepherds, I've seen them smile. I don't know about a chihuahua. They look up. Chihuahua always looks like he just went crazy or you went crazy or something. Looking at it. While you take Hitler, he realized what joy was. He made a film, propaganda film, an hour long called Kraft durch Freude. You know what that means? That means strength through joy. That's what that thing means. He knew what it meant. Acts chapter 14, Paul preaching to the pagans there says, "God fill our hearts with food and gladness." Have you ever stopped thinking about what a strange thing that is? God fill our hearts with food. It said, fill our hearts with... What does he mean? It means you enjoyed a good meal. God gave you a good something to eat, and you rejoiced and it tasted good. Boys, don't ever marry a woman who can make homemade bread and homemade ice cream. That's a sin. That's the most ungodly thing I ever heard of. It's a woman who can make homemade bread and homemade ice cream. Man, boy. You talk about diet. You're through, brother. You're through. I mean, you ever put that stuff in your mouth? Get some homemade sourdough bread. Right out of the oven with butter on it. Ah, man. You take that thing and swish it around in your mouth and chomp down that thing, man. You're about ready to shout, ain't you? Well, that's what the Lord did. For all the badness and rottenness men do, he gives them stuff they enjoy eating. And woe to you if you don't ask God to bless it before you eat it, because he's the one that gave it to you, that kind of thing. The author of joy is not the government. The author of joy is the Lord. And you have here a joyful mother, a joyful mother. The unit of a republic is a family. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the unit he began with is a man and a woman and a child. That's a family. And governments don't give you joy. Governments do everything they can to break up your family. At least in America, that's what they do. You get rid of the home, and they're getting rid of it right and left. I mean, both of you working is hard enough, but it goes beyond that. Then they let you get an easy divorce. Then they get you abortion, you get rid of the kids so you don't have a home. Then they give special privileges to queers who don't reproduce. And the last thing Obama did was give you a money break on your tax if you don't get married. That's the last one. We give you all common law marriages and you make out better financially. That's the government. And that isn't the Lord. And you get rid of the family, you get rid of the nation. And brother, they're working at it overtime. Modern colleges don't, when a woman gets there, they don't teach her how to cook and sew and clean up a house and raise kids. They don't teach her that. They say, what do you intend to be? You know, what's your career? And the woman goes in there and learns how to take a man's job. That's to bust up the home. That's what it's for. They do it all the time. The second fruit of the Holy Spirit is joy. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, and then on down on through. The author is the Lord. Thank God for the Lord. People don't have children, don't think about raising children. I feel sorry for them. I had a doctor down here who was a good doctor, that fellow Marino. He's going to Colorado now to try to get herbs in the Veterans Hospital, and he probably will succeed. Had one little boy, and the Lord took him when he was about 10 years old, and he and his wife never had another boy. She died of a brain tumor about a year and a half ago, and Marino coming through all the stuff he had, he was in his late 70s, didn't wear glasses, in perfect physical condition, that fellow. Never raise a child. I think if you miss kids and dogs, you miss about half of life. I tell people who don't have had any children, adopt a child. Get a child some way. Find some way to adopt a child. I've known a half dozen cases where when they didn't have any children, they adopted a child, and then the Lord let her have a child naturally. I saw that happen one time. A guy a friend of mine over in Atlanta, twice. And they went 10 years, no child, and adopted one, in came another one, then they had no other child for 12 years, and they adopted a second child, and in came a fourth one. They went with four of them. Now, what is that? That's mama. That's mama. And mama gets it first, and mama should be a happy mama. That's what the word blessed means, to make happy. When you say God bless you, you know what you're saying? May God make you happy. One passage says they blessed God. Back in Nehemiah, the people lift their voice and bless God, they made it happy. Why, you just read in the Sunday school this morning, because we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. That's what makes him happy. I don't know how many, I lost track years ago, how many airports I've been in, going through airports to take a plane or get off a plane or waiting for a plane, and pass by people in wheelchairs, and people sometimes didn't have any legs. And people sometime white cane and a dog leading them. And I've gone by them every time I've ever passed one of them. I said, Lord bless him, Lord bless him, Lord bless him, Lord bless her, Lord give her a blessing, give her a break. I mean, somebody going through a terrible thing, I want God to make them happy. That's why you say when you pass one of them, you say, whether you say to them aloud or not, you say, Lord, bless them, Lord, bless them, Lord, bless them. All men are endowed by their creature with certain rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those come from God. And a woman that's saved should enjoy her children. Now, the receipt of this joy, of course, is mama. And nothing more is more important than that thing right there. Women can comfort. Men are not noted for comfort, ladies. They never have. Women always make better nurses than men. I don't care how they are. They just make better. That's all. But you ought to have receive with joy, and of course, come by marriage, and then you got to enjoy your marriage, and that sometimes gets to be a problem. The eternal battle of the sexes, they go at it, you know. And a woman says, you don't deserve a wife like me, you know. He says, I don't deserve sinus trouble, but I got it. Like I said, before my wife married me, she could cook, and she should sew, and she could clean. And they said, well, did she change any? No. When she got married to me, she cooked my goose, and then she sowed her wild oats and cleaned my plow. That's how one of them came out. A fellow said, a marriage is like a beautiful violin music. After the music, the strings are still attached. That's true. A perfect marriage is where there's a blind wife and a deaf husband. That's profound if you think about it, so you probably don't like to think about it too much, but that's the thing, all that kind of stuff. So you take children, you know, the children are a blessing, and you say, well, my children are very disappointing to me. They can get that way later. A fellow said they step on your apron strings when they're little, and then they step on your heart strings when they're old. But even if they break your heart, the memory about them being a baby is good. God has you get your memories like that, the same way he allows you to get flowers, you know, in the winter to remember the roses that bloom when it gets warm. It's something to think about. I wouldn't trade any. I like a lot of kids. I'm only had 10, but I'd take 10 more if somebody gave them to me. I like a house just full of kids. Just run the whole place, getting each other's way and everything else, you know. Keep me young, you know. They get upset, yeah, sometimes the pain in the neck. You take away children, they're trouble sometimes, and they're money, they cost you money, and they're a pain in the neck sometimes. If you never felt like killing them, but you came like strangling them sometimes. I mean, I've taken a fork and stabbed Mike with it. Sitting at the table trying to get three and four helpings of meat without any vegetables, and I've told him 10 times not to reach for them, and I had pretty good peripheral vision those days. And I was about 50 or 60, you know. And I've taken that fork and just... he got blood in the back end of his hand. I've been driving in a hurry to get someplace when I had no woman to help me, and just by myself raising three or four of them. The back seat of the car, they were raising Kate. I'd tell them two or three times to shut up, and they didn't. I just reached out like that and smacked something. I don't know what I hit. But whatever it was, I knocked it over against the door, you know, that kind of thing. Well, you love the kid, but sometimes, you know, you got to do that kind of stuff. And they get old, and they'll break your heart. They won't turn out like you want them to be sometimes. I know all that's true, but it's worth it. Amen. I think it's worth it. You don't think it's worth it? So I think it's worth it. I think it's worth every bit of it. Hey, Mama, you ever remember how it was when they started? Mama, did you ever watch your little baby laugh the first time? Did you ever watch your little baby smile the first time? And don't tell me that ain't worth something. You say, where that stuff from? That's something from God. That's stuff from God. Nothing. A baby laughing, that thing is supernatural. I mean, the animals that smile can't laugh. If the baby's laughing, what is he laughing at? You've got to have a sense of humor to know what's funny, don't you? What's the kid doing? The kid is 1 year old. He's going, what's he laughing at? I don't know. I remember the first time my little grandson Gus ever laughed, and he was less than 2 years old, and Rachel, one of my girls, was lying in upside down in a chair, and she let her head drop over the chair, and her hair would fall out on the floor, and she'd shake her head like this, and old Gus just gets hysterical.
You sit there just, why? Oh,
the girl upside down in the chair slapping her hair on the floor. What's that got to do with anything, I know. Did you know the main difference between the Europeans' kids and the African and Asiatic kids? They don't have anything written about them. It's amazing how the Europeans, their kids have Grimm's fairy tale and Mother Goose stuff and all. When guys grow up, they're always talking about how they miss the good old days and the little brown church in the Vale and precious scenes in the midnight, precious scenes fill my soul. They think about, they sing about their childhood. They remember the childhood. I remember all my childhood. I remember it better than I do my adulthood. Why is that? Where are all the books on the little Hindu boys and girls, the little Japanese boys and girls, little Chinese boys and girls, when they get up and test only, why they don't tell you about what they did when they were kids? Strange religion. Must have a funny religion there. You take the folks from Europe that get saved, even the ones that don't get saved, can tell you about mom and daddy and a dozen things they did when they were kids, and mom and daddy backed them up, and when they got whipped and all that kind of stuff. All right, the nature of this joy. The nature is blessing. It's the comfort. It's a test of character. You ladies, your job is comforting, and your job is taking care of the kids and being a blessing to them and comforting the sick and remembering birthdays and helping the kids out and stuff like that, the stuff that daddy can't do. You have to watch your character. Your kid will pick up your character. If you ladies, some of you, if you did in public what you do in your homes, you wouldn't have three friends on this earth. If they saw everything you said and did in your home at times. Amen, amen, amen. What is needed is a good woman that loved the Lord and believed the book. And that's one of the greatest joys in your life is from small things. It isn't making a name for yourself in the paper and book or coming to career ones. It's little things. You're like in the helping the kid with little hurts and helping the kid go to bed and taking the baby and playing with the baby and showing the baby how to do things. And you say, what a waste of time. That ain't no waste of time. That's one of the most important things in the world. Years ago in the Roman Empire, the Emperor Maximilian was ready to resign. Rome, being the mess it was in, was falling to pieces. And he went way out in the country to the former emperor, Diocletian, who was still alive, up in his 80s someplace. And he found him out there with in his garden, hoeing and working with his cabbages and his melons. And Maximilian tried to get him to resign that and come back to Rome and take over the government. And Diocletian said, if you could see, you would not ask me to give up happiness for the pursuit of power. And you won't find these women who are great career women, any of them happy. They're not happy at all. You photograph pictures of them breezing down with their valise with the men looking at them, you know, and they're making $1 million and that kind of stuff. That isn't their private life at all. Your ability that you'll get the joy, most joy out of if you're a woman, is bearing and raising a child. That's why God put you here. And that might remind me to say, how is this joy obtained? Well, it's obtained from the Lord. How do you get it? Well, you get it from God. And every saved woman in this building, it's saved. There are certain things you ought to have to you obtain them from God, and you need to retain them. There are some things that will not bring you joy, and not permanent joy. Beauty is one of them. Your beauty and your youth wear out for a while, after a while, you know, and the old gray mare ain't what you used to be. And that kind of thing. Beauty won't get you anywhere. It's going to last. All the things you got are temporal, except the things you do for the Lord. The things you do for the Lord, if you're a good mother, if you keep a good home and you take a good example to your children. Flattery is not going to bring you joy. It'll turn out to be falsehood. Some men consider it it's all right to lie to a woman. They think of that. A lot of men flatter them. A lady said one time, flattery will get you everywhere. And most men think that a woman expect flattery, so they expect you to lie about them. I mean, he says, you're just an angel. Well, you know you ain't no angel. You know that. But they like to hear that. Like a lady said to her husband one time, he said, we married for better or for worse, and I was the best you could do, and you were the worst I could do. sometimes you think, well, if I have a home to stay in, a place to stay in. Some of you girls come here and marry boys here and live in flats and trailers and things for years and years and years. And for you, the biggest day of your life could be the day you get your own house, your own home. You think that's going to bring you joy? It doesn't always bring you joy. They're going to take up a lot of time. There's going to be a lot of things going wrong with them, including making payments on them. And you know, just having a house, not having a home. They advertise them as homes. They're not sometimes they're just houses. They asked a modern lady if she had a home. She said, "No, I don't need a home." And they said, "Why not?" She said, "I was born in a hospital. I was reared in a boarding school. I was educated in a sorority house. I was courted in an automobile. I was buried in a church. And I've lived in an apartment, and I'll be buried in a morgue. Who needs a house?" She said, "All we need is a garage and a place to sleep in." Well, you got it now. That whole California, they're doing that. They're in parking lots with tents and cars, sleeping in them. You got that now. You can lose your house. You lose everything else. Some woman will always have a bigger house than you have and a better car than you have. I don't care if you've moved in a nice neighborhood and bought you a brand new car. There'll be somebody right near you here that has a more expensive car and a better house than you got. Joy doesn't come from those things. Those things that come, those things that go. You ever study Josephine, who married Napoleon? She was the most depressed, unhappy woman who ever lived. And her husband had conquered more of Europe than Hitler did. As Elizabeth, Queen of England, she never got married. She's miserable, complaining all her life, not happy. Bloody Mary, she was a wretch, miserable. Marilyn Monroe, she couldn't find enough reason to stay alive. She killed herself long before she was 40, nothing to live for. Grace Kelly, miserable woman. Man, a gambler over there, and her kid was a drunk, and the whole thing went to pieces, and killing the car wreck and all that kind of mess. You take Jackie Onassis, you know. She went that way and married this guy over here, the gambler, you know, and then all the kids turned out rotten. Miserable people. Just having children is not enough. There's got to be more to it than that. You got to be thankful for the children. You got to care for the children and love the children and take your place there as a mother. And it won't always be a happy marriage. Maybe trouble in the marriage all the time you're raising the kids. Over in Balintalanti, that's a place in New Guinea, Portuguese settlement, they have a strange practice over there. They say the marriage lasts as long as the bride's wedding gown lasts. If she's unhappy, she wears it. And if your bride is unhappy, what she does is when she gets up and dresses in the morning, she puts on her wedding gown. And then goes through the day, and that way, you know, she ain't enjoying the marriage. Some of them wore the wedding gown till it got threadbare and wore out. I mean, they're unhappy the whole 40 or 50 years and that kind of thing. Those things happen, so you need to know how it's kept. It isn't just having children. I mean, just having children, like a lot of people do, you get them aborted or turn them over to the welfare or something else. Here's a lady. The guy got this one, got him some wife. Her name is Ada Tate, A-D-A-A, first name, T-A-T-E-A, second name, born in 1740. They traced her lineages that came from her, and they trained them through from the time they were born. They trained the lineage down from 1780 to 1880, 100 years. And 100 years, you know what came out from that woman? Of the descendants that she gave birth to, and then they gave birth to them, and then they gave birth to them. She had 700 descendants, and out of 700 descendants, 100 were born out of wedlock. 181 were prostitutes, 142 were beggars, 46 of them were arrested, and 76 spent time as criminals in jail, and they figured out the total cost of taking care of her 700 descendants, and it's $1,200,000. That's a woman bringing forth babies for what? I don't know, just to bring them forth, I guess. But that isn't anything you want to get into there. Now, how is this joy kept? Well, sister, the first thing is you can't keep it unless you keep your relationship with God right. It depends upon your relationship to Him as whether you're going to make it or not. Get over the time of depression, there'll be stuff that'll come up, and it'll be your personal relationship with God, and that'll determine whether you get through it or whether it takes you down. You worry. Sometimes you got things to worry about. I'll grant you that. I'm human. Sometimes you get depressed. Women have a terrible time with that. And you'll have to guard against it. You'll have to guard against depression, and you'll have to stay close to the Lord to guard against it. And there's some things you're going to have to do beside your relationship. You've got to remember to be grateful for your salvation. If you can't be grateful for anything, if you're sick and wasting away and falling apart and all that, don't forget to thank God you're saved. Don't forget that. He has that coming. You owe that to Him. And that isn't all. If you've got healthy children, you ought to be thanking God 10 times a day if you've got healthy children. Some of you didn't autistic children. They weren't born to you. I've got one of mine, and one of my grandsons is that way. And you take families. I've never had to bury a child 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 years old. Maybe some of you women have. That'd be a terrible thing to go through. But if you've got healthy children and God hasn't taken them and they're not crippled and not in hospital all the time, which some of them are, and some of them incapacitated for life, but some of them are, you ought to thank God every day of your life that your children can walk and run and eat and talk and go to the bathroom and enjoy a normal life. We're too, and I've been guilty of it myself, we're too forgetful to count His many blessings to see what God has done. Count your many blessings, name by one, it'll amaze you what you haven't done. Thank what you've got. Now stay in the book. You've got to stay in the book. You'll have a constant battle with the Lord. He'll try to get you bitter, try to get you mad, try to get you to lose your temper, try to say something foolish and that kind of thing. It's a constant battle, and you're going to have to stay in the book to get victory over it, and you're going to have to be instant in prayer. Instant in prayer. Can't you thank God you're not the wife of a Muslim? Do you know how many women are wives of Muslims? Well, certainly over 5 million. Closer to 20 million. They're allowed 3 of the wives beside you. An American married a Muslim over here, and she became a widow with a 10-year-old girl, and she married him. She married a regular fellow, and he died, and she was a widow, and she left the 10-year-old girl and married an Iranian. And he was called back to Iran and took her with him. And then when she got there, she told they had to stay. And she stayed in Iran and wore the veil and all that kind of stuff. And finally she had all she could take and turned herself into the police and showed her the bruises and knots in her head where her husband beaten her, which he did about once a day or twice a day. And they didn't arrest him at all or restrain him. And she left one night at that place and escaped over the mountains in the winter and got out of Iran and finally got to American troops. You're a mother right now, and thank God you are a good mother, and thank God you're in the United States instead of someplace else. But I'll tell you, ladies, there have been many women, and I know I'm not quoting Hollywood. I've quoted something God has seen and heard and put up with. There have been many women who've seen somebody take her baby by the leg and throw it into a fire and then told to jump in after him. That happened in Germany, well, twice a day for 3 years. I don't know how many hundreds of women. Many women over in Germany, when they begin to kill all the Jews, like they're getting ready to do over there right now with the consent, evidently, of your president, over there when you put through, they're going to put Hitler's program through. I'm giving you Hitler's program, genocide. There have been homes there where when the Gestapo came in there, the soldiers came in there and asked Jewish family where their oldest son was, and they knew and tried to hide him, wouldn't tell him. They take a baby out of the crib there, less than a year old, and take him up in the air and grab him by his legs and rip him in two and throw 2 pieces against the wall, and mama would have a heart attack. Not once or twice. When they clean out a house sometimes, they wouldn't take time, just take the babies and throw them out the window, and sometimes they'd catch them with bayonets going down, and mama sees that. I've got accounts where they're packing all the mothers into a Geneva truck and their little girl falls out about 3 years old. It's in the winter and they start to take off. She tries to climb out the back in the truck to get her baby. And the guard there at the truck says, "Stay in the truck or I'll shoot everybody in here." So she stands there and pulls off and the baby's crying there in the snow. And Mamas have been through that. Mamas all over Romania, all over Bulgaria, all over Czechoslovakia, all over Austria, all over the Sudan, have been going down the road with a baby here and a baby here and somebody shooting at them, or somebody has shot their husband, and they got the kids wrapped up in something to keep the snow off, and they're walking behind a big wagon pulled. I'm not talking about 4 or 5 thousand people. I'm talking about 2, 3, 4, 5 million mothers with the babies and the sons. Now, I have no doubt that any African mother or any Asiatic mother or any European mother loved her little boy or little girl just as much as any you love your little boy or your little girl. And you can thank God for that, can't you? I think you could. You ought to thank God for that. You put God Almighty put you in a great place for that boy or that girl. Paul says, I remember your mother and your grandmother, Eunice and Lois, and that's why you turned out so good, because of them. It's awful hard for a boy to go to hell with a good mother. When I want to deal with a real tough redneck who's real hard, I nearly always go through the back door and say, I guess you had a Christian mother, didn't you? And sometimes they haven't, but boy, you take a Southern 9 times out of 10, boy. If you ask some guy out in Tennessee or Alabama or Georgia, Mississippi, Louisiana, or North or South Carolina, he'll say yes. And I'll ask him, what do you think about her? Do you think all the Christians are hypocrites, do you? How about your mom? Was she one? I said, drop the head, boy. Yeah. Say, no. No, she wasn't one. They knew her. They know you. I have here a letter from a mother. She lived back there in another century. And this is way back in the 1800s. And she was the mother of one of the greatest missionaries in the world, a fellow named George Bethany. And this was his mother, and she made this note. She says, this day my only son left me in bitter wringings of the heart. He is again launched on the ocean, God's ocean. The Lord saved him from shipwreck, brought him to my home, and allowed once more to indulge my affections over him. He has been with me but a short time, and I have improved, and I have improved it. He is gone from my sight, and my heart bursts with tumultuous grief. Lord, have mercy on the widow's son. This is before he got saved. The guy's unsaved. She's writing this down about him paying a visitor. I ask nothing in, Lord have mercy on the widow's son, the only son of his mother, quoting Luke. I ask nothing at all in this world for him. I repeat my petition, save his soul alive, give him salvation from sin. It is not the danger of the sea that distresses me. It is not the hardships he must undergo. It is not the dread of never seeing him more in this world. It is because I cannot discern the fulfillment of thy promise to him in him. I cannot discern the new birth, nor its fruit. But this is how mothers wrote back in 1840 and 1850 and 1860. They don't write like this anymore. This is what distresses me. And in connection with this, his being shut out from the ordinances at a distance from Christians, shut up with those who forget God, profane his name, and break his Sabbaths, men who often live and die like beasts, yet are accountable creatures who must answer for every moment of time and every word, thought, and action. O Lord, many wonders hast thou shown me, thy ways of dealing with me and mine have not been common ones. Add this wonder to the rest. Call, convert, regenerate, and establish the sailor in the faith. Lord, all things are possible with thee. Glorify thy Son and extend his kingdom. She's praying for the glory of God, not just because she wants the boy saved. This is a Christian mother. Glorify thy Son, extend his kingdom. Now, of course, she's wrong in that. She's spreading the kingdom. She's post-millennial. That's how they all were. By sea and land, take the prey from the strong. I call him. I can't see what it is. Over the many friends trying to comfort me, miserable comforters are they all. Thou art the God of consolation. Only confirm to me thy precious word, on which thou causest me to hope in the day when thou saidest to me, quote, leave thy fatherless children, and I will preserve them alive. That's the scripture. Only let this life be a spiritual life, and I put a blank in thy hand as to all temporal things. I wait for thy salvation, O Lord. Oh, boy, got saved. Called to preach in the mission field for 50 years. That's a good mama. That's a joyful mother who is joyful in depression and opposition. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we pray this morning that the Holy Spirit of God might witness now to these people, especially the ladies in our midst, and some of these young ones haven't married yet, but someday are going to get married. May they put thee first in all things and trust thee to work things out, and especially lean upon thee when hard times come. And I know they'll come. And Lord, if it should be within my sound of my voice, my hearing, some woman who has never been born again and never been saved, may she understand that she's not going to do anything right if she doesn't get fixed first. Let's remain in prayer a little while. Now, if you're a woman here this morning, you're not sure you're saved, the thing for you to do is get to Christ as quick as you can get, married or unmarried. You will never be the mother you ought to be without Jesus Christ, or could be. You might be a fair mother, might be even a good mother in some ways. Never the mother that you could be, never, without Jesus Christ. Christ said, without me you can do nothing, the male disciples. And it's much more with a woman. It's much more with a woman. You're a dependent creature. You're a secondary creature. You came from the man. You're more dependent. That's why more women get saved than men do. They feel dependent. Mama, if you want to start raising little boys and girls, you have got to depend upon somebody that's smarter than you are. And knows the devil better than you know him. And knows his ways better than you know him. You've got to. God help you. Is there possibly any woman here this morning who'd raise your hand and say, Brother Ruckman, I don't know for sure whether I'm saved or not, but I heard what you preach and I believe you. I want to be a good woman. I want to be a good mother. If I'm going to be a mother, pray for me. Would you raise a hand? Anybody want anywhere in the building? Any lady here this morning? If not, we'll close. Let's pray a little while. The government right now is doing everything they can to bust up your family. Everything he possibly can. Rules, regulations, all the stuff is all aimed at busting up the home. You bust up the home, you busted the republic. That's the end of it. Fight the good fight of faith. Hang on, Mama. Hang on. All right, Brother Donham, if you would dismiss us in prayer.
Lord, we pray you to administer the help from this message to these mothers, to these women. We pray you to help them to remember where their joy comes from and how to retain it. Lord, we pray you strengthen the mothers here and help them in the jobs you get them to do, the important job they have. And Lord, a lot of the men here can clock out at the end of the day, but mothers never can. We pray you help them have a pleasing home to you, to be a good mother for you, and that they get their joy from you, Lord. And we pray if there's a lost mother in here today, they wouldn't go out lost. Lord, the mother has so much influence. If she goes out lost, chances are she'll bring her children to hell with her. I pray she gets saved before it's too late. Thank you for the good mothers in this place. And for many of them, Lord, we pray you help them along the way and strengthen them and bless them and call to mind these words that were preached to them today for their help. I ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.